You're listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK. On today's program, we're discussing breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Our guests are radiation oncologist Dr. Karen Godette, breast cancer survivor Jeanette Ross, and cancer support group advocate Anissa Palmer. And you, we invite you to join this conversation about breast cancer with your questions live right now at 404-880-9255. Also, you can join the conversation via Twitter at CCRTD. Jeanette Ross, as a survivor, what is one of the things you want to share with our audience that they just should be mindful of if they should hear the diagnosis of breast cancer?
Well, to be mindful again of what a lot of things that I said earlier, run to it, not from it. Mm-hmm. Don't be, as you said, you know, the internet doctor.
Yes.
And the main thing, you know, when she touched in on the finances, I was very challenged because I was in between some things as far as insurance. Mm-hmm. And I just took the mantra of a closed mouth, don't get fed. So I learned where the resources were. Mm-hmm. And I was not ashamed or too afraid to ask.
That's vitally important. The shame, because a lot of people feel the embarrassment. They don't want everyone to know. And you're saying that's not something you should let stop you.
Absolutely not. No matter what your status is in life, whatever you're doing professionally, how people view you, you got to step outside of that. Step outside of the box and go to what will save you. Because again, I said earlier, cancer is just a word, but other things can cause the cancer with the stress, the denial, and just running away from it instead of to it.
Is this what you see, Anissa Palmer, at your support group, I Will Survive? Do you hear these kinds of stories, folks that are working through the embarrassment and are afraid possibly to ask for help and support?
Most certainly, and even more sad, unfortunately, sometimes we'll get survivors or clients that reach out to us where if a woman's diagnosed and a husband, where we'd like them to be supportive and stay strong, because that support system does matter. We've had a couple clients in our program where their husbands have left them while battling breast cancer.
That's difficult because it's very hard on our partners. I appreciate you bringing this up, Anissa, because the truth is it's not only scary for us who are receiving the diagnosis, but also for the partner in our life. So in your support group, how do you help address that?
Good point. We had a great donor. We were so blessed to come into our doors. And he said, you know what? What's the struggling couple you have in your program? Because we don't have a lot that are married. We typically focus on the underserved, single mothers, 2 to 3 dependents. And we found a great couple. She was diagnosed with breast cancer for the third time. And so they decided to sponsor a all-expensive trip to Chautauqua Lawn. Yeah, it was beautiful. They had a great time, sent us pictures. And so we want to focus on the ones that are married to also support, you know, that support system.
so that
they can stay together and have a successful marriage is very important.
Well, it really is, because like any other type of stressor on a relationship, you know, a diagnosis of breast cancer can certainly be a stressor. And so make sure in the support that you support those who support your relationships in your life, because this will be a challenge, but you can get through it. You can get through it. We're taking your calls about breast cancer. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, 404-880-9255. We go to Beth in Atlanta. Hello, Beth. Go ahead with your question.
Hello. I was wondering what statistics show for women who smoke versus women who don't smoke. I've heard some people say, no, my mother never smoked, as far as whether they get breast cancer or not.
Great question. Dr. Godette, any findings on that?
Yeah. Generally, breast cancer is not linked to smoking. Lung cancer is. But even in lung cancer, even with that, you get lung cancer in patients who don't smoke. But it's not really linked to breast cancer. But when you smoke and you have surgery, your wound healing is not as good, and your tissues don't respond as well to the treatment. So it doesn't cause breast cancer, but it does, you know, decrease your chances in terms of wound healing from surgery and radiation.
That's such an important point. So, you know, if you can be your healthiest, like with any health challenge, the healthier you are, the better you will heal. Jeanette, did you find that to be true in your journey? Did you find yourself taking extra care of yourself so that you could heal well as you were going through your treatment?
Oh, absolutely. And as I said earlier, it doesn't end in regards to that process. Fortunately, I was pretty healthy going through the radiation. I did the old-fashioned way. And it's exciting to hear that the advancement is going to make it even easier. And also, you hear the women saying that they don't want to do the chemotherapy because they're going to lose their hair.
Right.
You know, it'll grow back, and it grows back even
prettier.
It does, because, Dr. Gaudet, the chemotherapy and sometimes even the radiation can change the texture of the hair when it does grow back, right?
Right. And so the one thing that she brought up that was important also is that when we think of the side effects of cancer treatment, we think of the hair loss, we think of nausea, vomiting, but we're not thinking about the psychological and sexual issues that go along with the change in the body for both patient and the partner. The number of scars, I mean, you've been through a lot, and it, you know, you have the scars to prove it. And even if you have plastic surgery, it's not something that you wake up like on TV and it just looks perfect. It's many layers to get to that point. So, and the treatments also, the hormones can put you in menopause. So now you have a 30-year-old woman who's going through menopause.
Oh, my goodness.
And then think about the sexual side effects of that. So it's not just the nausea, vomiting, and the stuff that you see from the outside, but there's also the other psychological and emotional stuff that goes on inside.
So do you recommend counseling? And what is your, what, how do you address that with your patients? I mean, what do you suggest to them as they try to manage all that?
I mean, ideally, actually, studies show that physicians really address, rarely address that. And it's just something you kind of have to ask. I mean, there's support groups now for younger patients. And support groups are a good place for to have those discussions.
That's
in terms
really
of
where
what
it
you can
be.
Do.
Yes. And
Anissa,
and
with a physician also.
That's why Anissa's support group is so important and why we have you on this show. I Will Survive is the name of your particular support group. And you mentioned Sisters by Choice, Dr. Gaudet. And there are numerous others. Jeanette, you mentioned a support group that you work with. What was
the name? Well, there's several. There's a Turning Point.
And they
also,
lymphedema therapy.
I'm a patient navigator at Gravy with the Avon Breast Foundation. And it's a wonderful group.
It is vitally important that you get support. Do not try to do this on your own. You need support and you deserve support. Your questions are welcome about breast cancer now at 404-880-9255. We go to Lilburn where we say hello to Laura. Laura, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you for having me on the show.
Go ahead with your question.
I have a question regarding triple negative breast cancer. I am a 13-year survivor of that cancer, and at the time that I was being treated, the really only treatment they had was chemotherapy because it's negative for all receptors, and there's not like with estrogen receptor positive cancer. There are some medications you can take after you've had the cancer, and I'm really just wondering what advancements they've made in treating that type of cancer, and are there medications now available for people to take after it, just like with the estrogen receptor positive cancers?
Not yet.
Oh, goodness. So we are hoping for that, Dr.
Gaudet. I mean, there's research and there's studies that are being done in the lab with proteins and but there's nothing yet on the market for a patient to take with triple-negative breast cancer if they don't have cancer at this point. There's nothing like the pills like the tamoxifen and the Arimidex that the women who are estrogen positive can take. So unfortunately right now, there's nothing that we just give for you to take prophylactically, you know, like for 5 years. There's nothing at this point.
And this is the type of cancer that is the most common to Hispanic and African American women.
It's a higher population, and the prognosis tends to be worse. So, first of all, in terms of being a survivor, I must say, you know, congratulations to you for that. And the other
thing that we
have to also remember, regardless of what type of breast cancer one has at the beginning, that could always change at a later date. Should you have a someone have a recurrence? So, because someone's triple negative or positive estrogen one time doesn't mean that a later date it could recur like that. It could the receptors can change with time.
Mm-hmm.
And the treatment may be different. It may be a different treatment option at that time.
Well, we hope. Laura, thank you for calling into the show.
And
we
good luck.
That. And we're congratulations on being a survivor.
Yeah.
We invite your call to our show here talking about breast cancer, 404-880-9255. In Decatur, we say hello to Brenda. Brenda, thank you for calling. Go ahead with your question.
My question is, in getting implants once you've had breast surgery and you want to do reconstruction, is it best for you to use your own stomach tissue or wherever they can harvest fat from to rebuild the breast? Or would implants be better? Because implants, you have two types, the silicone and then you have the saline. But both are in silicone bags.
Dr. Gadad, any advice there without knowing much more about this specific case? Because your earlier point regarding this was it depended very much on anatomy and other factors you would need to know
and
about the patient.
Patient preference.
Okay.
You know, you go, you talk to the surgeon, and they will discuss the types of implants with you, the size of what you want, and then tell you what are your treatment options with regards to surgery. Depending on your anatomy, some of the options may, you may not be a candidate for some of the options, like a flap. So a lot of that has to do with your discussion. That's something you just discuss with a surgeon. It's not that one is better. They're just different.
They're different, and it depends very much on you. Jeanette, as a survivor, did you have any thoughts? What were your thoughts during that time
period?
Well,
again, like the doctor said, it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you choose, I like to say to the ladies, don't expect perfection.
Yeah.
I mean, just more than anything, you have life. And as you age, you're going to change anyway. The main thing is just, you know, going into it with the attitude that I'm alive.
Yes.
I'm alive. And if you choose to do the implants or the tram, either way, it's a beautiful thing. It's
we
a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I want to mention, too, is even if you didn't choose those options up front and you had a mastectomy, later on, you still could have those options. So even if you don't, you can't make your mind up what you want at that time, you have to wait at least 6 months after radiation. But you still have viable options for reconstruction. So it's not off the table.
Oh, that's
good. It just may not be on the table right then at the time of the diagnosis.
Mm-hmm. Which gives you some think time, which is
right.
Important.
It gives you time to regroup.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the stage of the cancer, it may be not the prudent time to do a reconstruction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We wait to see what happens, give the radiation, and then you still have those options.
There are some things we see out here in general when it comes to our health, Dr. Gadad, and I want to hear Jeanette's experience. And Anissa, if you hear this in your support group, I Will Survive. High fat diet and how this impacts, does it put us at a greater risk for breast cancer if we are indulging in a high fat diet on a regular basis? Also soy, if we have soy in our diet as a high estrogen food, are we doing ourselves harm? Dr. Gadad?
Okay. So in terms of fat, it has been shown that a high-fat diet is linked to breast cancer. And some of the new research shows that actually if a mother or a pregnant woman has a high-fat diet, her daughter and her daughter's daughter are more likely to develop breast cancer. So that's been shown only in the animal model, but that's how they get a lot of information from the beginning for adults. So we know that it's linked to a high-fat diet in adults, but now there is some evidence, at least in the lab, that even it could go be transferred to your offspring in terms of genetics.
So we should be careful and try to get ourselves off of the high-fat
diet.
All right.
Because it could affect the future generations.
Talk to us about soy.
Okay, soy is very difficult because it's a plus and a minus for breast cancer. And actually, some of the latest research that I looked at, I think it was in the UK. I think that was the research was in the UK. But it seems that soy may help you possibly before you get breast cancer. But once you get breast cancer, it may not help. It may be a negative.
Okay.
The problem with soy also is that we don't know enough about how much estrogen is in a particular item because it's not marked. Mm-hmm. So you have no way of knowing, but it seems like the new evidence shows that soy could be a plus and a minus, but it's probably a negative more after the diagnosis, and it could be a positive before the diagnosis of breast cancer. You know, I tell patients, unless they're taking a ton of soy, it's probably, you know, not bad.
It's probably okay.
It's probably okay. But the date, you know, it's still, the data is still up in the air about, you know, about that.
Mm-hmm. I know one thing we must bring up is stress. We know stress isn't good no matter what is going on with
your
health.
That goes for all cancers.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Anissa, in your support group, I Will Survive, how are you working through supporting folks and the stress factor? We talked about the psychological impacts and working through shame and impacts on our personal relationships. How else are you addressing stress?
Good point. We're speaking about our demographics. It's high stress in underserved communities predominantly, whether it's single mom struggling between work, children, diagnosis, treatments. And so we've actually had two clients in our program that just also lost their job. And so our goal to help, we can't mitigate stress completely.
No.
But if we can try to, you know, share a vacation, if mm-hmm. there's options out there, we have a few resources in that aspect. And also if there's other support groups, events, positive events to go to try to keep them in a positive state, even through all the chaos that's going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
If there's other support groups, we're in connection with a lot of other organizations that are out there. And additionally, whether we're giving spa cards, massages, different things to boost their self-esteem, confidence,
yes.
As well as relieve some of that stress.
Jeanette Ross, as a survivor, how did you manage the stress as you were moving through? You spoke of your support with friends mm-hmm. and family, which they were very
Absolutely.
Helpful to you. What are some of the other things that you could help folks out there listening know that really work when it comes to managing the stress associated with breast cancer and that diagnosis?
Well, again, I always say run to it, not from it. Mainly attitude more than anything. And over the years, I've learned how to relieve myself and admitting that I was running away from things.
Mm-hmm.
I sought counseling, which was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, our faith in God.
Yes.
But mainly anything in getting with myself on a day-to-day basis and hugging myself and just being just glad
yes.
That life is short.
Yes, encouraging yourself.
Absolutely.
Dr. Gaudette, in these final moments, your final thoughts to leave with our listeners regarding stress or any other aspects of breast cancer.
In terms of stress, just think of it. I mean, you do have the other things like exercise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Mindfulness.
Yes.
I mean, there are other realms in which you can find, you know, some stress reducers.
Yes.
The main thing is early detection, because with early detection, you can be cured. And when you are diagnosed with breast cancer, find out the information about your breast cancer. Don't take it from everybody else, their
yes.
experience, but try to know your stage, the type of breast cancer you have, and what your treatment options are, and then take it from there.
Wonderful. Anissa Palmer, I Will Survive is the name of your support group. How may people find you and support you?
Absolutely. Please visit us. We're everywhere on social media. Visit us on our website at www.iwillsurviveinc.org. Always seeking volunteers, board members. Thank you so much for those who do support us. And we always need more support.
Jeanette Ross, as a survivor of breast cancer, any last words for us?
Run to it, not from it. Maintain a good attitude and always trust and know that God has you. He is awesome.
Dr. Karen Gaudette, we thank you from Emory. Any final words for us?
To all the breast cancer survivors out there, I say congratulations and keep on sharing your story with other people so they can see that there's another face to breast cancer, a positive face to breast cancer.
And that is why we are here. I thank you all for joining us. October
thank
is
you.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and the reason we have focused just on this today, and we thank you for being a part of the conversation. It continues on Twitter at CCRTD. Thank you for listening to Your Health Connection on WCLK.
Hello, I am Dr. Shafiq Khan, Director of the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. The Cancer Center is committed to reducing the burden of prostate cancer health disparities in the African American community through research, outreach, and education. On behalf of the Cancer Center, I would like to thank you for joining us today on Your Health Connection.
Your Health Connection is made possible by funding from the National Institutes of Health and the Center for Cancer Research and Therapeutic Development at Clark Atlanta University. For more information, please call 404-880-6878 or go to ccrtd.cau.edu. If you would like to listen to this show on demand, just go to wclk.com and click on the Your Health Connection page. For Paula Gwen Grant and producers Dr. Kimberly Davis and Rob Maynard, this is Jamal Ahmed. Thanks for listening to Your Health Connection.
Tomorrow, and yesterday is gone. So raise the chin up, girl, and we will work our problems out.